And here's the thing, I'm here today. I've been to Arizona, I've been to Washington, D.C., and people are rising up all over the country. I've been to Oklahoma, and people are rising up, and they're demanding that their council members do what the pro-life organizations haven't done in 46 years, and it's just to end it. So I'm actually against you guys sending a letter to Andrew Cuomo. I'm telling you to stop it. If Andrew Cuomo were to have legalized rape, if he were to have legalized child molestation, if he were to have legalized sex trafficking, I wouldn't ask you guys to send a letter. I would ask you guys to go and demand that all those people come to Batavia. And the reason that we're talking about a letter is because you guys don't believe that abortion is actually murder. If you actually believe that abortion was murder, you would be standing up with us begging the children to come to Batavia. But we're sitting here and we're discussing this like it's something up for debate.
When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores, desperate to get food.
For regulations.
Regulations.
Some regulations.
Have regulations.
Regulations.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And I'm King Ginger, and man, we got a lot to talk about. I've been gone. Been sick. I've been on my anniversary, and I've been traveling filming for Babies Are Still Murdered Here, and a lot has gone on in the short time that I've been away. And thanks for everybody that's been asking about the show and asking if it's going to return. It is going to return, and here we are to prove it. And so today we're going to talk about a bunch of things. We're going to talk about abortion, obviously, because that's kind of the world I'm immersing myself in at the moment. And we're also going to be talking about Tucker Carlson and an interview that he actually did not air. But I thought it was kind of revealing, not so much for the guy that he interviewed, but I think for Tucker Carlson. So we're going to get into kind of like his standards. What does he base his form of government on? And I think we will learn that it's nothing more than pragmatism. But before we do that, I want to talk about my friend in Norman, Oklahoma, by the name of Shane Dodson. Shane Dodson owns a store named Dodson. It's a Dodson's. And it's a health food store. He runs that store in Norman, Oklahoma, with him and his family. It's been there for years, I believe. It's was passed on to him. And so it's been there at least maybe two generations in Norman. And he's recently been going out to speak about abortion to the city council members. First off, let me just say something. I'm getting, like, it seems like almost every day somebody else has gone before their city council and told them to end abortion. And that is amazing. I know we've had it happen in Oklahoma. We've definitely had it happen in New York. I believe we have people in Virginia that are doing it. And we have people in Idaho. We had one in Texas. And so, first off, thank you to everybody that's going out and standing before their city council members and demanding that they uphold biblical law. I just got back from Phoenix. I did it in Phoenix yesterday, and I was 2 weeks ago, probably. I was in Batavia, New York, and I did it in Batavia, and FaithWire actually did a write-up on it. And you know, I'd like to take a moment to talk about that. I'll link to it in the notes for this episode. I don't have it pulled up right now. You know what? I'll play it at the beginning. So you've probably already seen it. You've seen it because I played it at the beginning of this episode. But that was me talking in Batavia. And I think it's important to when we think about this, about what was happening before I got up to speak. So it started out by a guy named Chris Connolly, who was addressing the city council there. And from him addressing the city council on abortion, it actually got moved into the idea of being a sanctuary city. Batavia would be a sanctuary city for the unborn. And the basis for that was that Governor Cuomo said in his letter to he said this in his letter to the federal government about ICE, and he essentially said that he will defy the federal government and create sanctuary cities where immigrants are safe. And so this idea came about, if Cuomo has already given cities the right to defy the federal government and declare themselves sanctuary cities, we should do it for abortion as well. And so that conversation started in Batavia. And so by the time I got there, I thought we were talking about doing a sanctuary city, and it's moved to, maybe we'll just write a letter to the governor and say we're disappointed in him. And I just got frustrated and mad. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Are we actually having this conversation? And if we are actually having this conversation, it means that the council members don't actually believe abortion is actual murder, because there's no way that they would just write a letter if it came to other issues. And so you have, like, one of the councilmen on the board there is a reality TV show host for a hunting show, a gun show on, I guess, like some hunting network or whatever, some high up number basic cable, premium cable channel on hunting. And so he does a show there. So he's got quite a big Twitter following. And so, you know, if the federal government were to take away, if New York State were to say, you got to get rid of all your guns, he would have a fit. But when it comes to abortion, it's like, well, let's just write a letter and tell them we're angry. And so that's kind of what happened. By the time I got there, I was just like fed up with the fact that we were going to write a letter. They wanted to write a letter. And so I decided that I was just going to call them out for it and the cowardice of it. And that's what I did. And thankfully, FaithWire picked it up and it got a lot of traffic. And that is great news, because that means more people are going to see people speaking before their city council. And eventually, there's two things that's going to happen. People ask me, like, what do you expect to accomplish from these city council meetings? Well, the first thing I expect to accomplish is that I expect them to end abortion. I absolutely believe they have the power and authority to do that, and they should do that. They should create sanctuary cities and just eliminate all abortion clinics in the state. And number two, I think that as Christians continue to go to their city council and see how completely ineffective their city council members are, I believe that they're going to start to realize that these city council people should not be representing them. And so the long play here is that eventually people, godly men in the church who have been going and speaking to the city councils, will eventually just say, you know what, I'm going to run against these guys. And they will. And I believe they'll win. And so those are the two options and outcomes that'll happen. And so it's exciting. It's exciting to see so many Christians, reform guys get involved and speaking to their city council. Who knows? You know, I mean, maybe you're out there and you haven't done it yet. You haven't gone to your city council yet. And maybe you live in a more conservative district or whatever. And maybe you're going to be the guy that goes there, and the entire city council is just going to have a change of heart. They're going to have a change of heart. So anyways, that being said, Shane Dotson went to his city council And the response, well, I'll just play this video and you can see the response.
When abortion became the topic of conversation during a Norman City Council meeting, what happened next has people choosing sides, not only on the topic itself, but also on the conduct of council members.
According to the law of God and the light of nature, it is unlawful.
Norman resident Shane Dodson addressing city council, urging them to stand against abortion.
You got to start somewhere, and we're starting locally.
As he spoke, two council members, Kate Bierman and Alex Scott, turned their chairs around. Council member Scott, who actually represents Dodson's ward, says his words were hateful towards women.
While we were still listening, we were just showing a clear protest that we're not going to engage.
I see that as a reminder of what I believe those women were doing figuratively, as in they turned their backs on the most helpless among us.
The room even more tense when another council member sounded off minutes later.
Sir, I want to apologize to you. Whether you agree with somebody or disagree with somebody, that is not public discourse.
He should never feel obligated to apologize on my behalf, because I am not sorry. We are a captive audience, and we don't have to listen to hate speech.
Although you could nearly cut the tension at the meeting with a knife, the mayor attempted to close the session by encouraging civility.
We have an obligation to our public to be courteous and to be respectful and to listen. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
Dodson says he'd be happy to talk with the council about his message and says he plans to attend the next meeting with the same mission. In Norman, I'm Siobhan Bryan, Oklahoma's News 4.
It was here in the Edmond Police Station where the first call came in around 2:30 this morning.
Shout out to Shane Dodson, Dodson's Health Food Store. You can call his store and you can order stuff and they'll mail it to you. They don't have the ability to order online. But you should absolutely go there because there are people in Norman. I mean, Shane has started a fire, guys. Shane has started a fire, and it's time for us to throw some gasoline on that fire and make it loud and be boisterous about this, because what I'm about to show you is how crazy these city council members are. Now, one of the council members that it was not her that was interviewed, but it was one of the other city council members. She turned her back. Her name is Councilwoman Sarita Wilson. Now, Councilwoman Sarita Wilson is the textbook example of a verified blue check mark feminist. That's what she is. She has nothing else to offer society other than her rants against how awful white men are. And so this is her Facebook page right here. Actually, you know what? I'm going to actually just record my screen real quick. And I will show you. So this is her page. And you just have to see this page. So you have to see this. So this is her profile photo right here. And it's a picture of her with her back turned, as you can see right here. Very, very courageous. There's Shane in the shot, and her. And then, of course, this is not a city issue. Stay out of my uterus. Now, so this is somebody who has embraced a protest as a city council member against Shane Dodson. And we're going to see. We're going to scroll through her feed, and we'll see. This woman is, let's just say, she needs to be voted out. Somebody needs to replace her. So let's see. Let's just go down. Be so bold that you motivate a bunch of men that live out of state to spend their free time being appalled. Okay. And then let's see. There's some good stuff here. Here's one of her comments on patriarchy. Evidently, some people think that the word patriarchal means all men. I find that ironic, but for your educational enjoyment, here's a valid definition of patriarchy. I can define asshole for you all if need be, but it's safe to say that if you have to defend yourself because you think I'm talking about you, I probably am. Edit, also women can be patriarchal and assholes. Okay, so obviously this is a very highly distinguished city council member, and then she, of course, posts the definition of patriarchy. Here's a photo of her with her back turned towards a man. She says it's the new normal. And then somebody says, wait, your chair back to him? LOL. And she says, it's a theme with me. So she loves this fact that she can turn her back on Shane as a city council member and not take him seriously. Here's another shot of her saying patriarchal assholes. She's very vulgar. She's very vulgar. And she says here, she says, oh shit, I have lost the respect of so many white dudes. I mean, this is what we are exposing when we go to the city council meetings. This is what we should be doing. And honestly, I know we're doing it with abortion. I know that's like our central issue, but man, we need to get, this has just fired me up. I just want to go to every city council meeting now. And I want to talk about issues of taxation and I want to talk about issues of regulation. I don't want to stop here. I mean, abortion, let's do this. But man, let's get Christians riled up. Look, if you are listening to this show, what is your excuse for not going to these city council meetings and standing up for what God's word declares? What do you have to lose? I mean, this is a woman who is an enemy of the gospel. And she's sitting in a seat of power. And Christians, we need to stop that. We need to stop that. So here's another thing she wrote. I'm just scrolling through her page. If men can't take a woman turning her chair and not listening to an irrelevant topic to the business at hand, maybe he needs to study up on how the world works. That doesn't even mean anything. It doesn't even mean anything. First off, it's not irrelevant to city council meetings. Because of the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. These lesser magistrates have a right to protect men and women of all ages and all sizes. They have a right to do that. And so when we have a woman who thinks that the right for her to protect against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which she swears to, is somehow not relevant to a meeting, she needs to go. She needs to go. So citizens of Norman, Oklahoma, I hope you're paying attention to this. If you're in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're watching this, please share this and let people know that this woman needs to go. She needs to go. And so her name is Sarita Wilson. You can go on her Facebook page. It's S-E-R-E-T-A Wilson. Send her a message politely asking her to resign. That, I think, would be fantastic. If she just felt pressured to leave, as she should feel pressured to leave. So yeah, so I mean, it's unbelievable, this woman. And in addition to that, there's been calls to boycott Shane's store. There's a lot of discussions happening in Facebook groups in Norman, Oklahoma over this very issue. So snaps to Shane and Dotson's Health Food Store, and support him any way you can. Get the word out about what he's doing. He is a hero in that city, and we need to take notice of that. And as I was saying, like, you know, Christians, we should speak to city councils more, all the more. That's a great proof of that, for sure. But we should also speak to issues other than abortion, and maybe issues of taxation. Because the problem I'm seeing right now is that conservative pundits, whether it's, you know, Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson, they don't have an objective moral authority in which they base their politics. They don't have one. And so it's creating this dumbing down, I believe. I think that's an appropriate way to say it. It's a dumbing down of our society in terms of the way in which we govern. And so a while back ago, I think this was maybe 2 weeks ago, and I've been wanting to get and do a show on this, Tucker Carlson did an interview with a historian named Rutger Bergman. Now, he decided never to air this interview because Rutger Bergman started to go off on how he was paid by the Koch brothers and all these other things. And look, I don't know if that's why he didn't air it. You know, Rutger Bergman was saying that he doesn't really have the ability to say what he wants because he has to say what, you know, the billionaire investors of the company want him to say, which, I mean, that's just true with any business, right? You speak on behalf of your employers. So whatever the reason for Tucker Carlson not to air the interview, he started ranting and raving and dropping some F-bombs, and that's not really important to really what I want to talk about. What I do want to talk about, though, is I want to talk to about this section in the show where he said, hold on one second. Yeah. So this section in the show where they were talking about the taxation of the wealthy. And let's go from here. And I want you to, when you listen to this, I want you to think, what is Tucker Carlson's objective standard for why it's immoral to tax the wealthy?
I mean, I don't know. It would be interesting to know how many hours of Fox you've watched, but I'm interested in what you said about tax avoidance. So
yeah.
Just because someone faces a specific tax rate does not mean that person pays that tax rate at all. I don't think Netflix, for example, paid any taxes last year at all. So what would you do specifically to make certain that this class of people pays what they're supposed to pay?
Well, it's about multiple things. So we should really crack down on tax paradises and on tax avoidance. That's a major issue. But it's also about having higher taxes. So in the 1950s, for example, in the 1960s, in the golden age of capitalism, as historians called it, we had top marginal tax rate for the very rich of about, you know, 70, 80, 90%. Actually under Eisenhower, the Republican president. And this was also, you know, one of the best periods in American history. Same is true for the UK and the rest of Europe. So as a historian, for me, it's all not, you know, it's really not rocket science. We should go back to simple and straightforward solutions from the past.
Right.
Okay, let's stop there. What would your answer be to that? Because my answer would be, oh yeah, it was immoral then. It was wrong then. It's wrong to tax the wealthy at such high rates. Because the Bible says, one, thou shalt not steal. And the Bible also says that you shouldn't tax someone just because they're rich. And you shouldn't tax someone less just because they're poor. Because God is a judge that is fair. And look, you only need one verse in the Bible for something to be objectively true for all time. And this is a passage in the scripture, and I've said it over and over in the show, you should not tax the rich more, and you shall not tax the poor less. They shall not spend more, and they shall not spend less. This is what scripture says. It says it over and over again. But you only need it once. So when you have these political pundits, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, back during this time, we taxed people at 70, 80, 90%. The economy was great. So that's why the economy was great, because we taxed them so much. And Tucker Carlson's going to answer that objective, but he's not going to do it with an objective moral standard. And that's what I want you to hear. I want you to hear Tucker's answer to this.
But this country was sustained, and since you're a historian, I guess you would know this, sustained by an industrial economy at the time that was broad and deep, that that created a middle class. That doesn't exist anymore. So it's an entirely different economy. I wish it did exist.
Why? Why do you wish it would exist? An economy that you could tax people 70, 80, 90%. So, see, this is the problem I'm having with these political pundits. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show, is to show how even our conservative Fox News guys don't have an objective moral standard in which they determine tax policy. They don't have a biblical standard. I mean, here's a guy that says tax people 70, 80, 90%. It's totally okay. And Tucker Carlson goes, well, yeah, well, it was okay then because it worked back then. It just wouldn't work now. There wasn't a functioning middle class. And he says, it's an entirely different economy. I wish it did exist. Why? Do you wish that people could be taxed 70, 80, 90%? Are you serious? Why do you wish that that sort of economy existed where we could tax people at those rates? And so just because an economy is successful at a 70, 80, 90% tax rate, and I don't really know the history or the specifics of the economics, and I'm just assuming what they said is true. There were people that were taxed 70, 80, or 90%. If there are people that were taxed 70, 80, or 90%, that was immoral. It doesn't matter if it worked. It didn't matter if the economy functioned and grew with that sort of tax rate. It was still immoral. I could also say, too, that during those times, there, even though they might have been taxed that high, there also wasn't all these regulations and stuff on the economy, too, that made it like even harder and more difficult to run a business. You could just run a business during those times. So, and then finally, I'll say, too, if they weren't taxed 70, 80, 90%, imagine how much better the economy would have been. I mean, think about that. I mean, we're looking at that and we're saying, man, that was a great time in America. It was a great time for industry, great time for the market and the economy. It was fantastic. Well, man, what did we miss out on if we were taxing people 70, 80, or 90% of their income? I mean, that's insane. And so this is why we need people, Christians, godly Christians, to go to city council meetings. And when they're talking about taxing or buying a stadium or building a light rail, we need to start bringing up what God's word says about these things. Now, most of the time, city council members are not going to care what you say. But there might be one or two that God changes their heart or softens their heart to you and listen and allows them to listen to you. I mean, so whether it's abortion or taxing or buying a light rail or building a stadium, we need Christians there to set the standard straight. This is what God's law says. This is what God's word says. And it's important to hold these men accountable. It's important to hold our council members accountable. They're more important than the president because they're the ones that are going to protect you against a bad president. We need to know who our sheriffs are. We need to know who our city councilmen are. We need to know who our local attorney generals are, and we need to speak to them, and we need to make them aware that we know them, we know what they're voting for, and we're not going to tolerate it. Because what we see at the presidential level or at a Supreme Court level, what we see is quite simply the result of what's already happening at the local level. So when the local government gets away with it, the national government can get away with it quite easily, quite simply. And so I think that's it. I think that's it for today's show. I'll wrap up. Well, let me wrap up with this because there's a lot that happened. I know I just watched today. I watched John MacArthur's The Shepherd's Conference, and they had Mark Dever and Legan Duncan and Al Mohler on there, and all heroes of the faith in their own rights for what they've done. But they've been infiltrated by the social justice stuff. And I think there's people in the Cross Politic Network that's going to talk about this way better than I will. But I will say that I think I learned from watching that is I don't believe that John MacArthur's theology, Phil Johnson's theology, is substantial enough to be able to fight this enemy. I do not believe that a man who is on stage with people who have been infiltrated by the social justice theology, who don't give straight answers to Phil Johnson's questions, and then gets on stage at this exact same time and says, essentially, well, you know, this is all panning out according to my eschatology. I don't believe his theology is robust enough to be able to combat this. And I think there was a lot of questions I would have liked to ask. Now, perhaps I think people are being gracious to Phil Johnson and John MacArthur when they said that, you know, perhaps they were just trying to get things on record, but I didn't get that impression. I didn't get the impression they were trying to just get things on record. I got the impression that they were kind of taken aback to their answers because they seemed like accurate answers. So some questions I would have liked to ask Al Mohler is, who cares about your legacy if it's infiltrated at the end? If everything you've built is destroyed by termites, just because you don't realize that the termites are there, it's not going to help you in the end. And so I don't believe that Mohler and Ligon Duncan and Mark Dever, I don't believe they're entirely malicious. I don't believe that they're trying to subvert anything. But I did get the impression that for sure they are being used by others that do know what's going on. And they're essentially the useful idiots there. And I think we should pray for them. I think, Mohler is very concerned with the legacy and what he's done for the Southern Baptist Convention. And he wants to leave a good legacy. And it's sadly, I don't think it's going to happen if he doesn't really come down really solidly in opposition to what's happening right now and fighting really, really hard. And so I think that's why your theology needs to be robust enough to be able to understand that when, a Black family is giving their kids driver's license for the first time and they're explaining that, you have a theology that says, I understand that's why we shouldn't have a militarized police force, local militarized police force. And here's what scripture says to back that up, that we should focus more on citizens' arrest and not on giving police a reason to pull someone over because they're speeding or they're weaving on the road or missed a stoplight, all these sort of things, and have a true system of government. And so, anyways, that does it for this episode of Law and Prophets. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at I'm King Ginger, and make sure you sign up for a Fight Left Feast membership with Cross Politic, and you get Toby Sumter's series on Proverbs. It's like $10 a month, and you get all these amazing things, all these amazing behind the scenes things, and a Toby Sumter series on Proverbs, people. I mean, how is that not worth it to you? I mean, isn't that amazing? So, yes. So anyway, guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.